Still Kal v'chomer. Okay. Sif Hei and Vav is, really when we go back to the Makor here, we have three different cases. Case one, let's assume for purposes of simplicity that Netzach Ham is 6 o'clock and that we follow Netz for purposes of Estos. So case one is a woman that has a Veses between 5:59 and 6:01 and unsure exactly when it began. Case two is she has a Veses from 5:30 to 6:30, Re'iyah Meruba. And then case three is she has an extended bleeding of 4 or 5 days, Medalefa She'eno Kishofas. She continues from day 20 to day 24 or something like that. So the discussion here is really rooted in the Rivet, though we'll see there's Hosafos from other Makoros, but that is, those are the three cases, and on each of these three cases, we have to figure out which is her Veses. So, let's start with case number one. Case number one is 5:59 to 6:01. So that's the case we talked about last time. She doesn't know whether it's the beginning or the end. And for that reason, we're makil to say it was after Nates and not before Nates, right? Since she doesn't know. She doesn't know if it started at 5:59. She doesn't know if it started at 6:01. So we're makil. And we explained last time why that is. Either it's because of Safik Durabanan Lakula, or because since it's Safik Durabanan, the Svara of Mai Chazis allows us to assume that Tolana Kalkalab and the Kulkul or the like. Good. Now we have case two, which is again, she knows she started from before Nates, like 5:30, and it continued to Re'iyah Meruba until 6:30. So the Rivet here has a number of possibilities what the halacha might be. So the first possibility is Asura Balayla Vayom. In other words, Lamaisa, since she started at night at 5:30 a.m., so therefore the night is Asur. And since the Re'iyah Biyom was Re'iyah Meruba, so then she's also Asura by day. So her Veses is going to be both Laila Vayom. Now, clearly, if you hold with respect to question number three, that we look at the hemshech of the Veses, so then she would be Asura Balayla Vayom. But the Chiddush over here seems to be that even if you think with respect to question number three, we follow Tchilas HaVeses, in this case, we might still say that she's Asura Balayla or Bayom. Now, why would that be? So, one possibility is because the reason why we assume Tchilas HaVeses is that when Tchilas HaVeses passes without seeing, we don't expect you to see it later, right? In other words, let's say her Aflaga is the last time she started at day 25 and she bled through day 28. So we don't, once 25 passes, so we don't expect, now you'll see on day 26, because 26 was never the Tchilas HaVeses. But in this case, where her Tchilas HaVeses was from 5:30 to 6:30, because it was in Re'iyah Meruba, we see the entire thing as a Tchilas HaVeses. So the next time around, just because she didn't see Balayla doesn't tell us she won't see Bayom, because she had an extended Tchilas HaVeses. In other words, the logic here basically is to distinguish between a extended Tchilas HaVeses versus a Tchila followed by an extended Re'iyah. Here, even if in the case of the Tchilas HaVeses, even in case three, the Tchilas HaVeses with an extended Re'iyah, we're going to be Mekel and only look at the Tchila. Again, in the end, the Ravid won't even accept that. But the point is, even Al Hatzad, that was true. But maybe in this case, it's different because there's an extended Tchila. So option A that the Ravid says is that maybe, therefore, the entire night and the entire day will be Asur, because we have to basically be machmir for the entire tchilas avesis. Possibility B is baser tchilas avesis as linan, right, in which case she would only be asura belaila. And that's the second possible. In other words, possibility B here is to treat case 2 as identical to case 3. Just like in the case 3, if you held in case 3, you only look at the tchila. So here too, we only look at the tchila. And finally, possibility number 3 is that she's ena asura ela onas halayla v'shas havesas bilvad. So the next month she's going to be asura the entire night, as well as the first half hour of the day. Now, this, as you saw, is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch accepts this third view. Now, the truth is, when you read the Ravid, it's not at all clear that this is a third view, right? The Lashon of the Ravid, at first glance, sounds like this is actually the second view, because what is his Lashon over there? The Ana Ichra'ana V'hamilsa Kihasvara Basra, right? Meaning to say, I presented two views, and I'm going to accept the second view. But then, after saying he accepts the second view, then he presents what seems to be a third view. So that is what raises the confusion as to what he means here. But at the very least, the Tur and the Beis Yosef both read this as being a third view. And what's the Lashon mean? V'ana achrana b'ha milsa ki hasvar basra is referring to the permissibility after day, after 6:30 on Yom. In other words, I accept part of the Svara Basra, though I don't fully endorse the Svara Basra. Now, you could argue that... But the other possible reading of the Ravid, though, I would think of the simpler reading of the Ravid is to say that there's only two opinions. And either opinion one is she's asura the entire day and asura the entire night, and the second opinion is this one, which is she's asura the entire night plus the first half hour of the day. But there is no opinion that she would be muteris the entire day, because the Ravid is certain that we have to take the entire tchilas avesis into account. So there's two ways to read whether there's two or three possibilities in the Ravid, but one way or the other, it's the last possibility, whichever one you think it is, that's accepted lahalacha by the Shulchan Aruch. Fine. And then we have the third case of the Ravid. Again, that's where she has an extended Riyya for several days. Midalafe she'ena kishofas. So let's say it's from day 20 to day 24. So here too, the Ravid offers a number of possibilities as to what the halacha might be. First possibility is day 20 is her vesas kavua, and day 21 through 24 is a vesas she'enu kavua, which would mean that the next month, practically, you're going to have to be choshish for days 20 through day 24, though only day 20 would be her vesas kavua. Possibility two, he says, is that day 20 is her only vesas, and that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch over here, as well as the Raman Simen Kuf Peites Sif Yud Gimel. Possibility number three. Possibility number three is days 20 through 24 are all her vesis kavua. Now, why would that be? So here, the Ravid is going to give two possibilities for this possibility. So we'll call this right now. We'll call this possibility 3, and then we'll have possibility 4. Possibility 3 and 4 might not be different in din, but they are different in terms of the reasons. So possibility 3 is because we don't really know how to classify the blood on day 20. If you remember, all the way back to the beginning of the year, we talked about what's the reason for Chumra de Rebbe Zeira and the like. And one reason that was quoted by the Rishonim is because we're not really sure how to be Mavchen Bein Dam Ladam, and maybe really day 20, 21, 22, 23 were all Dam Tohar, so they're not Kovei Avesas, they're not really the types of red that would make a woman into a Nida, and then 24 was her first day. So therefore, because we don't really know what's what, We have to be concerned that all 4 days, or in this case 5 days, right, days 20 through 25, are all actually her dam nida, right? Or, for example, we also know that we're not matzchen between yimei nida and yimei ziva, and you're not kovei aveses. We'll talk more about this shortly. Actually, we probably won't talk about this till Klif Peites. But the halacha, strictly speaking, is that during Yemei Nida and Ziva, she's not Kovas Veses. In other words, she's Kovas Veses after the 18 days pass, but not before. So maybe day 20 was, not day 20, right? It was day 17, because we're not really paying attention. We're Machmir, but it's a Suffolk. So therefore, days 20, 21, 22, 23, are not able to be Kovei Aveses, in which case her real Kvias Veses is only day 24. So basically, because of all these uncertainties, we have to be Choshish for day 20 through 24. Now, the Ravid rejects these Cheshbonos, but he accepts the practical position, though for a different reason, and that's possibility 4. And that is days 20 through 24, all the Veses Kavua, because her Veses continues for 5 days. Now, why is that here too? We could call this 4a and 4b. He gives two reasons. Number one, shekol zman meshech u'yasa chashiv hakol ka'ona achas. So what does that mean? In other words, it could be that midalefes is only the beginning of the veses, but it could be that shofas o midalefes shikah shofas is a single ri'ya achas, in which case you'd have to be choshish for the entire time. And we have to be choshish for the latter. Meaning to say, this is one sustained re'iyah. Now, the Baal HaMor over here asks that by Ria Meruba, he wrote that you only have to be choshish for the beginning. Right? Remember, Ria Meruba, the case two. So you only have to be choshish for the beginning. So, it seems like that the difference for the Ravid is that the previous case was clearly Meruba, whereas this case we're unsure. And therefore, we have to be Choshish for the whole Re'iyah. But if you only have a beginning, then you only have to, if we know what the beginning is, you have to be Choshish for the beginning. Then the Baal HaMor asks, well, if the Ravid's right, so the whole Shir has gone, because we're Choshish anyway for the whole time. And I think what the answer for this is, the Ravid would agree that if you could show you stopped, then you wouldn't have to be choshish past that. So let's say you did a hefsek tara, right? She started seeing, then she did a hefsek tara, and then she saw another day, or two, or three, whatever it is. Then in Ochanami, you wouldn't have to be choshish for the whole hemshech. But it's only because we're not really sure that we say this. Now, the Ramban himself also holds this way. The Ramban says a different reason. If you noted the tour put together the Ravid and the Ramban, but they really give two different reasons. The Ramban said, "Kol yom v'yom kevesis b'fnei atzmo," which is basically that she has a vesis for day 20, a vesis for day 21, a vesis for day 22, a vesis for day 23, and a vesis for day 24, and you have to be choshish for all of those. That doesn't seem to be what the Ravid's saying. Though the Ravid, practically speaking, it comes out the same way. Fine. The second reason the Ravid says to be worried is mipnei shehu davar hamatzui berov nashim shemishanos is vestan lahakdim shloshe yamim o laachar shloshe yamim v'achar kachos ros lemakoman. This may be similar to the yamim nevuchim we talked about last time. Now, it's not clear what this means. And here you have to look at the differences between the old Ravid, the Madura Kam and the Madura Basras. From the Madura Kama, it sounds like he means you have to be choshesh that if she saw three times, 25 through 28, really you'd only have to be worried about the tchila. But perhaps this is something new, and the old one was uprooted, and it's a hemshech. Not clear. Not clear. Either way, these are the possibilities of the Ravid, and as we mentioned, we paskin a split. We distinguish between case 2 and case 3, right? Namely, in the case 2, we say you have to be choshesh for the Laila, and the Hemshech Bayom, right? So an example of a 5:30 to 6:30, you have to be choshesh for the whole night and the first half hour of the day. Whereas in the case of the extended one over several days, you only have to be choshesh for the beginning. For that, we don't accept the Raifid. So the question is, what's the difference? So if you look at the Torah really mentions two differences. The question one is, which is the Iker, or are they both Iker? So the Bach stresses that the difference is that it's Riyah Merubah. Meaning to say, in the case two, you have to be Machmir, because it was Riyah Merubah the entire time. From 5:30 to 6:30 a.m., it was Riyah Merubah. The Prisha stresses the fact that it was for a short period of time. It was only over the course of an hour, as opposed to over the course of several days. If it's over just the course of an hour, we'll see it as one Riyah. If it's over the course of several days, we won't. The Mechaber doesn't mention Merubah, so it sounds a little bit more like the Prisha than the Bach. And I think also it sounds away from Sivvav, because he says 2 or 3 days, Sheshofas o Medalefes. In other words, he's Mekel against the Rivet even by Shofas. So you get the impression that the Mechaber thinks that the Iker difference is, are we talking about a long period of time, several days, or a short period of time, an hour? Now, keep in mind, when the Mechaber writes in Sivvav Shofas, I don't think he means total Shofas, because the Gemara Nida Daf Yud Amud Beis says a person will die if you have such a long Shofas. So when he says Shofas, I think he means Medalefes Shehike Shofas, in which case, basically, again, it's like we said. Not clear. Again, this gets back to the Taina of the Baal Amor. But Lamaisa, as I said, the Mechaber Paskin is like the Rosh, that's not Mechalik. So he's Mod in Sif Hei, and he disagrees in Sif Vav. Now, yeah.
What was the second question of the Baal Amor? The entire Shir is gone. What does that mean?
The second question of the Baal Amor was like this. Let me see if I have it here. No, I don't think I printed it. What's the significance of the shear of an ona if you have to be choshesh the whole time? In other words, from the Gemara, it seems pretty clear that there's significance to an ona, right? But according to the Raivid, you have to be choshesh the entire time she was bleeding. So what's the significance of ona? So that the answer is exactly that. In other words, when is it that the Gemara says that you have to just be choshesh for the ona of the tchilas havasas? That is where, if you can show that the hemshech was something new, so then you'd only have to be worried about the beginning. So that's what I said. The Ravid might agree that, let's say, she saw at the beginning, and then she did a hafsik tara, and then she continued to see more. So then you'd only have to be choshesh for the ona in which it began. But over here, where we don't know if it really stopped, so then you have to be choshesh for the whole time.
If she happened to not do hafsikara, most people on the first day.
Right, so therefore, practically, that's what the Rav is saying. You'll have to be choshesh for the entire tkufa. Okay. Now, the shach over here writes, well, let's say like this, right? So who's the Mechaber paskening like? He's basically paskening like the Rush, right? Now, what's the chiluk? So like we said, there are two chilukim, right? The chiluk of the Bach, the chiluk of the Prisha. Either it's the difference between Sifhei and Vav is whether it's Merubah, like the Bach says, or the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that is it for a long period of time or a short period of time? The Shach quotes both possibilities. Now, even though we are medak from the Mechaber, that the emphasis is on the Zman Muat, but the Shach quotes both the Prisha and the Bach. Sounds like he accepts both. The Taz doesn't like these Chilukim, and he says, I don't understand where you're coming from, Mechaber, because, you know, the Ravid is Machmir in both. Now, I don't know why the Taz is bothered by this, for two reasons. First of all, the Mechaber is just passing like the Rush. It's not like the Mechaber made this up. And second of all, even from the Ravid, you see that he's Machalik. There's even the Ravid himself, in the end of the day, is Machmir for case three, for all 3 or 4 days, right? But Lamaisa, the Ravid, addresses these two questions separately and clearly allows for the possibility of the Mechaber, namely saying that in case two, you'll only have to be, case two, you won't just be worried about the Tchila, but case three, you will only have to worry about the Tchila. So again, while the Ravid in the end doesn't accept that, the Ravid clearly acknowledges the distinction. The Rosh paskins the Chiluk, so why is the Taz so bothered by this? Okay, that's the way we paskin. Now, here's a very interesting practical question that comes out from all of this. Let's imagine the following Shaila. She sees from day 20 to day 23, 1 month. Then the next month again, day 20 to day 23. Good. And then the third month, she starts on day 22. So, do you have a possible vesis for day 22? So the Chavos Das addresses this, and it's quoted in Pischei Tshuva Sif Katan Yud Beis. And he says like this, it depends. If she shofas o mizalefes from 20 to 23, she has no vesis kavua. But if she's hifsika, then she has a vesis kavua for 22. Why? Because we're concerned that which she saw on day 22 is something new. In other words, let's say she starts, you know, the first two times when she sees from day 20 to 23. She starts on day 20, and then she stops, and then she starts again on day 22, something like that. Then you'd have to be choshesh for a vesis kavua. Why? And maybe the first 2 days was dam tohar. In other words, sort of like that possibility that the Ravid quoted that he didn't even like. Remember, the Ravid rejected that. Why did the Chavos Das think you have to be choshesh for that all of a sudden? Because the Torah is choshesh that for that in Kuf Pei Tes. What does that mean in Kuf Pei Tes? So we'll get to that in the Torah. But that's the idea that we don't know what are Yemei Nida and what are Yemei Ziva and the like. So therefore, we assume that even though Medina de Gemara, we are only choshesh for vestos that are not during the first 18 days. We don't count, you know, whether this is Yemei Nida or whether this is Yemei Ziva and the like, so we're always machmir. But if that's true, so then we also have to be choshesh that the first 2 days weren't. So therefore, if it's not, if it was Hifsika, she wasn't Shofas O Medalefes, it would be a problem. Now, if that's true, the Chavos Das is right, the Pischei Tshuva quotes him, then I think this could happen a fair amount of times. But I think we don't paskin this way. If you look at the Badei HaShulchan, the Pardes Rimonim, the Aruch HaShulchan, says this is only if Hifsika Yom Shalem. In other words, it is true that a lot of times when women are menstruating, especially not, you know, it's on and off, on and off, on and off. So, if Hifsika Yom Shalem, then perhaps we have to be choshesh for the Chavos Das. But that isn't very likely, and therefore Lamaisa, this doesn't really come out. Right, so everybody clear about this point, the Chavos Das and the Pischei Tshuva? Again, she sees 20 to 23 twice in a row, and then the third time, let's say she starts on 22, 2 days later. Right? So the Chavos Das says, if she went straight from 20 to 23 the first two times, so then you don't have to worry about 22. Because 22 was starting in the middle. Wasn't a tchila. But let's say she starts, stop, over the first times 20 to 23. So then maybe 22 was actually a beginning, in which case you have 3 22s in a row, right? In which case she has a vesis kavua, right? And she has one vesis kavua, because only 22 happened 3 times.
I'm saying in theory, you could have just, if you have a tchila.
Well, that's the point. In other words, we're choshesh. What the Chavos Das says, we're choshesh that day 20 and 21 were, let's say, during her Yemei Nidaziva period of time. Right? So they don't really count. And day 22 was the Tchilas Riya, and then you have three 22s in a row as Tchilas Riya. So if the first two times it was 20 to 22 straight, so then 22 is in the Tchilas Riya, and it won't create a Veses. But if it was on off, then it would be a problem. Right? Now this could very easily happen. But that's where, as I said, the Achronim say, no, when do you have to be concerned about when it really seems like a new start? How would you say 22 is a new start? Hifsika Yom Shalem. If she did Hafsik Tara, for sure, but nobody ever does Hafsik Tara after one day, right? But let's say Hifsika Yom Shalem, then it could be a problem. But that's very unlikely. And therefore, I think, practically, this Chiddush of the Chavos Das would not really come up very frequently. Okay. Sif Zion. So, it says over here, we're going to begin talking about Manika. We're going to continue talking about it. But Manika is a period of 24 months after the baby's born. And during this period of time, she's Mesulekas Damim. You don't have to be Parish Samach Levesta. And there's a Machlokas and a Gemara between Reb Meir and Rabbanan. What about Dayashaita? And we Paskin like Rabbanan. So we say, what does that mean? Even Afilu Gamalto, Afilu Meis, Dayashaita, all 24 hours. Right? So this is very important. Let's say a woman, she's nursing, but she stops nursing after 6 months. Still, she should be Misulekas Damim for 2 years. Now, why would that be? You know, I understand why she's Misulekas Damim while she's nursing, because the nursing inhibits menstruation, but why for 24 months? So Rashi explains, it's not Talui and Yanika per se, even if the baby dies, the trauma to their body from childbirth causes her to not menstruate for 2 years. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger over here, Sifka, and also the Pesachei Tshuva point out, but if you look at Kuf Pei Tes Yud Gimel, we're Choshesh after she sees once during this Yemei Hanaka. She's just not Choshesh for her first Veses. Right? Not like that Marsha quoted by the Shach here. It's a tricky here. So we're going to return to this question when we do Kuf Pei Tes, and especially talk about what's the Halacha Lamaisa nowadays, where of course the Metzias has changed. So we'll do it in Kuf Pei Tes, but now just note what Rabbi Kiveger, what the Pesachei Tshuva point out, which is seemingly Kuf Pei Dalet Zayin seems to be Soser Kuf Pei Tes Yud Gimel. Yes, in other words, you have to be Choshesh for Pam Achas, right? Yes.
Don't we not pass on like Rabban Leinin B'dikos L'Pnei Tashmish? I mean, we pass, you don't need B'dikos L'Pnei Tashmish even if she doesn't have a Skula.
What does that have to do with this?
Meaning, I thought we said that the nafkamina of Misulekas Damim is that you don't need the B'dikos to...
That might be one nafkamina. We might not... That might not be a nafkamina for us, even if we hold you generally don't need to do B'dikos before Tashmish. The nafkamina certainly would be for an Isha Sukha B'Taros, though. Right. We'll get there when we talk about Kuf Pei Zayin. Good! So this question of Sif Zayin, really, we're going to return to in Kuf Pei Tes. Sif Ches. Sif Ches is very interesting. The Torah writes that if a woman is in a cave, so... Let's go one step back. The Gemara talks about the halacha of a woman in a cave and considers the possibility that pachad is misalekas damim, meaning to say, since you're so scared, then you're going to be misalekas damim. Now, of course, every time we're talking about misalekas damim, we have to consider what that means for us in terms of two questions, vestos of prisha samach leveses, and also the question of, do you need to do bedika? Right? Meaning to say, if your Ves is passed without your seeing anything, do we say that you don't need to do a Bedika because you were Misulekas Damim? Or do we say, no, you still have to do a Bedika like usual? Right? Usually, of course, we say that if your vesis is passed. Though we paskin vesis lav deraisus, you're not a sura, but you're not mutaris until you do a bedika. So what's the halacha if she's in a cave? So the Torah writes that l'chatchila you have to be poresh. So the Beis Yosef says, I don't know what he's talking about. Doesn't the Gemara say that you don't have to be? She's misulekas damim. And he has a cheshbon. He says that the comparison between me'uberes and being in a cave is only according to the opinion vestos de oraisa. And in both of those cases, according to Mandam Revesus de Raisa, they'd both be mutaros bediaved. But Lamandam Revesus lav de Raisa, so in the cave you have to be poresh l'chatchila. Why? Because we see that there are, not everybody is misulakas namin when they're afraid in the cave. There are kamanashim, shendaman misulakim, when they're in a cave. Whereas meuberes, that's true for everybody. That's the Beis Yosef's chiluk. And he acknowledges this a difficult reading in the Gemara, but that's what he says the Torah must hold. However, in the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't paskin that way. The Torah's theory is difficult, so even though in the Beis Yosef is Miyashiv, the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch, he paskins Lakula. In other words, if you're in a cave, there's not even a need for Prisha. But the Ramaz Machmir. And the Taz is Miyashiv in a slightly different way. He says a different point, that why is she Misulekas Damim in a cave? Because she's scared. So maybe in the middle of Tashmish, she'll be having such a good time that she'll not be afraid for a minute or two. And at that point, the dam might come. So that being the case, so the Torah's psak makes a lot of sense. What does the Torah say? That you can't have Tashmish, of course, if the Vesis passes and she doesn't see anything, so she won't need to do a bedika. Right? Because she's Mesulakas Damim. But there's a concern that during the course of Tashmish, then she'll not be scared for a couple of minutes, and then at that point in time, the Dam will come. So therefore, you need to do Prisha. So again, we have two explanations for the Torah. One is the Beis Yosef, that since some women do menstruate even when they're in a cave, you have to be Choshesh and you need to do Prisha. Possibility two for the Taz is fundamentally we assume that when she's scared she won't see Dam, but during Tashmish she might her fear might let up for a moment, and then we have to be concerned. Now the Taz's explanation makes a lot of sense to explain the tour, but not the Rama. Why? Because the Rama writes that l'chatchila you also need to do a bedika b'shas vesta. Right? The Rama over here writes hagav yeshomrim. Dafkim avar hadases below badka below ergisha taora below bedika avol chatchila tzricha bedika. So if the whole vesis passes without doing a seeing any dam, then you don't need to do bedika at that point. But l'chatchila she should do bedika. Now, why would that be according to the Taz? Right, according to the Taz, the whole reason why Tashmish is usher is because her fear will let up. It could be that the Taz is really explaining the Torah, not the Rama. Could be that if you wanted to explain the Rama in light of the Taz, we're always concerned that maybe, you know, for a minute or two the fear will let up. Somebody will say a good joke, the fear will let up for a minute or two, and mimela, you should l'chatchila do a bedika. The Shach says a little differently, l'chatchila you need a bedika for the reason of the Beis Yosef, since there are some women who continue to menstruate regularly even when they're in a cave, so that's why you need a bedika. Now, if that's the correct pshat, then why don't you have to do a bedika afterwards? In other words, how does the Shach's ruling make sense? What's the Shach saying? Why do you have to do a bedika according to Rama l'chatchila? Maybe she's from the women who are unaffected by the cave. Okay, if we're choshesh for that, so then we should also say, afterwards, you should do a bedika, right? In other words, if we're choshesh, she's from those women that aren't affected by the cave, so you should do it afterwards. So l'chor, you have to say that in that case we had confirmation that she is from the majority of women that don't menstruate regularly when they're in a cave, right? In other words, during her vesis, we're still not sure. Is she from the minority of people or the majority of people? But once the vesis passed without her seeing anything, we say, oh, we have confirmation she's from the majority of people, and there's no reason to do a vesis afterwards. Whereas during, we're concerned she's from the minority, in which case both Tashmish is Aser, and L'chatchila, you should do a bedika. Fine. You could also explain it based off of like a sveik-sveika. Maybe she doesn't need ubedika afterwards at all, because as we'll see later, that's a number of Rishonim hold that if you pass in Vesos Lav Deo Reis, you don't need a Dudika even after your Vesos has passed at all. So it's like a sveik-sveika. Maybe if she's in a machva, in a cave, she's entirely exempt, and even if she's not entirely exempt, maybe you never have to do bedik afterwards. Okay, those are two possible ways to explain the shach. The Rama is based off of the shach. Now, what does this mean for us? Is there any practical relevance for this, for people that are not regularly in caves? So the answer is maybe. How so? Birth control pills. So why might this relate to birth control pills? Because the question is going to be, when a woman's cycle is hormonally regulated, will we assume that she's mesulekas damim at the time when she's taking the hormones that are going to prevent menstruation? Right? In other words, maybe what we see from the case of the cave is that any time a woman is practically mesulekas damim, whether it's because she's in a cave, or she's nursing, or she's pregnant, so then she doesn't have to be choshesh for her vestos, her old vestos. And here, it's based off of medication, but it effectively produces the same result, and therefore, she would not have to be concerned with her old vestos. So that is where the poskim, starting from the Radvaz, who is the first to deal with the issue of oral contraception. People think it was invented in the 60s. They didn't know. And the Radvaz's one is really good, actually. They still haven't quite rediscovered his one, because it's even better than the ones that are used nowadays, as we'll see. But anyway, so that's the question discussed over here. Now, when it comes to the pill, there's really two questions we have to be concerned about. One which we're going to address now, and one we're going to address when we do Kuf Pei Tes. I'll mention it now, but we're not yet ready to address it. The one we're going to address now is, do we say she is misulekes damim while she's on the pill, in which case she doesn't have to be concerned with her old vestos? Question two is, how do we treat the menstruation that is a result of hormonal therapy? For example, let's say she's on the pill with a standard 28-day cycle. So she sees five times in a row with a 28-day haflaga. Will we say she's a ves kavua? If she stops, if she doesn't, maybe we're going to see, and this is what really we're going to see in Simen Kuf Pei Tes, that she doesn't have to be concerned. And the reason is because we don't see this as a regular menstruation, but a type of vesos akfitzos. We'll talk about vesos akfitzos and vesos ashon, cases where menstruation was triggered by some type of external phenomena, which might or might not create a regular vesos, but also might prevent this from creating a vesos if you don't have that trigger, that stimula. But that's for Kuf Pei Tes, because we haven't yet done Vesas HaKfitzos yet, and Vesas HaShum. So that question of pills we're going to get back to. But now, we're going to talk about the other question of pills, which is really our question, which is, could we say that when she's on the pill, she is Misulekas Damim? And therefore, practically speaking, what this would mean is that immediately when she goes on the pill, she will no longer have to be concerned about her old vestos, right? At least as long as, certainly, when those vestos come up when she's still taking the hormones to prevent menstruation, right? So, let's say her Yom HaChodesh is while she, let's say, you know, instead of 28-day cycle, she's going to be doubling up. So she, talk about that also, but so she doesn't expect to menstruate, you know, based off of her plans till day 56, right? Two times 28, let's say. So, but well before day 56 is going to be her onabenonis, her vestis achodesh, her vestis aflaga, right? And maybe she even has a vestis kavua. So the question is, does she have to be choshesh for all of those, right? We saw in Siv Zayin, the case of Mi'uberes, she doesn't have to be Porei Shamach Levesta. So if we treat this as Mi'uberes, then she doesn't have to worry about it at all. We saw in Siv Chesh, the case of the cave, that, well, at least according to the Ramat, it's not so simple. That's like a quasi Misulak Eshtamim. So in that case, the Ramat says, you do have to be Poreish, and L'chatchila you should do a bedika, but Avar Vesta, you don't have to do a bedika. So we're going to compare this to Mu'beres, or we're going to compare it to the case of the cave, or we're going to compare it to none of them, because this isn't in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us specific cases of Misulakas Damim, and we can't add to it. So that's the question we're going to address now. But first, before we answer it, I see there are questions. Yeah?
Point is, even not in the Gemara outside, but isn't it less than all these examples because Misalakas Damim is we're not expecting any Dam at all for an undetermined amount of time, but birth control, we're expecting Dam at a specific time, definitely.
Okay, perhaps, but not so simple. For example, you know, she's 23 months and 3 weeks, she's still Misalakas Damim, even though we expect her period to begin again next week, right? Or the case of the cave, they might leave, right? They're only going to the cave for 3 days, right? Right now, the marauders are having a holiday and they're drunk and they got to run out of town and go to hide in the caves because who knows what's going to happen. And they know 3 days later, it's going to end, they could go back home, right? But still, the pashtus is, during those 3 days, if her vesas happens to be during those 3 days, she's in luck and she gets to skip her vesas. Right? Even though she's expecting to leave the cave. So, the same thing over here. Yeah, Yoni?
Wouldn't there be more reason to be Mikkel? Because the case of the Machpa, when you say Misalakas Damim, we've been saying that if she has a Vestis Kavua, but most of the women nowadays we're talking about don't even have a Vestis Kavua.
Okay. So, do you have to be Choshesh? When the Ramaz Chumras, the Torah's Chumras, by the case of the cave, would they apply even for Vesheinu Kavua?
Yeah.
So then it's not going to help too much. You're correct that when we're dealing with the Vesheinu Kavua, there's more room for leniency. We'll see that there are poskim that are machalik. Among contemporary poskim, the Ber Moshe makes your chiluk. He thinks that, we'll get there in a moment, but he thinks that for Vesheinu Haflaga and Achodesh that are not Kavua, you could be Mako when you're on birth control, but you have to be Chosh for Vesheinu Kavua and Onabenunis, which we treat like a Vesheinu Kavua. So, but you're... distinction may indeed be relevant lahalacha. So let's see. So as I mentioned, the first to discuss this is the Radvaz. If you saw it in a tshuva, it's very interesting. It's in Simen Kuf Lamed Vav. Oh. So what's the halacha? His question over here, I'll just mention a question, we're not going to read through his whole tshuva, but the question is, Miktsas nashim sheshosos mashke o shar dvarim la'ake vestan asara o esrim yom im aser levalo avo aleha afal pisha teora dehave kasamach levesta olo. Good? Wow. Now he also deals with another question again, which we're going to get back to in Kuf Pei Tes, the creation of vestos over there, right? He says, vim Nikba, you could kriyas vestas al yedei shtiyas hamashke. So again, that's part of the Kuf Pei Tes Shaila. It's that part of the Radvaz we're not going to do now. But our question is really silag damim. Right? Could we equate this to, let's say, something like birth control pills? So if we were to create the Radvaz's koshal ikrin, you know, short term koshal ikrin halacha to a birth control. So Lemais, he's only machmir, he's only mekel after 3 times, right? Vimnisis, in the end of the day, after a long discussion, vimnisis aisha zu mashke zeh gimel pa'amim shemake vesta mistabra demishameshes below bedika. He's also talking about a different issue. So that, but the first time, or when you start the pill for the first time, sounds like he's not willing to be makil. And maybe that's because we're not sufficiently confident that this is going to work for her. The Minchas Yitzchak, in Chelak Aleph, Simen Kuf Chav Zayin, addresses this question in terms of modern oral contraception. He doesn't actually quote the Radvaz, but he does compare oral contraception to the case of the cave, in which case, at the very least, he says you shouldn't have to do a bedika if the vesis has passed without a bedika. In other words, we accept the Ramah. So the Minchas Yitzchak says, well, l'chora, we should compare the pill to the cave, in which case we would tell them to do prisha, but we would not, if she didn't do a bedika during her veses, she wouldn't have to do one afterwards. But then he says that you can't compare it to the case of the cave, because we don't trust the doctors. In other words, even though the doctors will tell you that she's not going to menstruate, we don't trust the doctors. We're going to talk about Ne'amanus HaRofim in Kuf Pei Zayin. So we'll have a whole discussion about that. That's where the poskim primarily discuss the question. But that's what he says. Now, it's a little strange. I didn't understand it so much because Lemaisa, the Beis Yosef says that the reason for the Tur's Chumra by the cave is because some women are affected by caves and not all women. So at least we should trust that, and that's enough to say you don't need a bedika afterwards, right? So at the very least, that should apply here. In other words, don't trust the doctors. Let's even say the doctors say 100% of women will not menstruate while they're on the pills. They don't say that, but let's even say they said that, right? So we'll say we don't trust them. So what will it be? It'll be a suffix, right? Some women do bleed while on the pill, some women don't bleed while on the pill. So what's the halacha in that case? At the very least, it should be like the cave where you don't see afterwards. Let's just say it again. There are two reasons for the chumra of the tur / ramah by the case of the cave. What are the two reasons? Either because it's not true for all women, or because we're afraid that there'll be a lapse in the fear. Well, obviously the lapse in the fear doesn't apply for oral contraception, and so the other chumra will say we do apply. Let's say we'll treat birth control as not helping all women in terms of preventing bleeding. Okay. But still the halacha is, even though it doesn't work for all women, it's enough to potter you from a bedika lach or vesta, even according to the Ramah. So here too we should say that, right? So I didn't understand why the Minchas Yitzchak was saying that since we don't trust the doctors, we don't acknowledge the significance at all. I would have said, even if you don't trust the doctors, you should still say it should potter you for the bedika lachar vesta, right? So I didn't understand that. He throws out the whole thing. That's what I didn't understand, unless I misunderstood him. The Tzitz Eliezer, though, does cite the Radvaz. This is Chilak Yud Gimel, Simin Kuf Gimel. And he says, we paskin like the Radvaz. We accept the Radvaz, he's all discussion on this topic. But Lemaisa, since we accept the Radvaz, we are willing to apply the ruling of the Radvaz to oral contraception. But, as we said, we could only rely on it until it's shown its effectiveness 3 times. And he says, even though the doctors tell you it will be effective immediately, and she won't see any dam, we don't trust the doctors, like the Chassam Sofer says. So that being the case, the Radvaz is, the Tzitz Eliezer is 1 step more lenient, but still very, very restrictive, because we won't be able to skip Vestos until it's shown its effectiveness 3 times. The Shevet HaLevi deals with this both in the Tshuva and the Shirei Shevet HaLevi. It's actually a little different from each other, but he also accepts the Radvaz. And he says, we don't have to be concerned with previous vestos. And it sounds like he's saying you don't even need 3 times. Why? This is much more effective than the case of the cave. But he says, preferably you should wait 3 times. But b'shas hadchak, you could be mekel. Now, what's an example of a shas hadchak? So this actually is not an uncommon question. Let's say you have a kala, and she's on birth control pills to make sure it's not a chuppas nida, and then her wedding falls out on the day of her veses, right, from last month. Not an uncommon thing. So he says, that's a shas adchak, and we could rely, we could be makel, even though she hasn't shown the effectiveness three times, right? After all, this is the first time she's ever been on the pill. We could be makel, and this is the Sheva Talevi. Shas adchak, you don't need three times. These things, ideally, you should not be lenient until three times, but shas adchak, you could be, if the doctors tell you that she's not going to see dam, then you could be mako even the first time, in which case, in this case, this kala whose vesis is on the day of her chuppah, or perhaps the vesis is the day after her wedding, but they didn't yet succeed in having bias mitzvah, so you have to worry about prisha, you have to worry about doing a bedika because your vesis is passed, all these things that would make life very complicated for the young couple. So he says, you could be mako. You could be mako. Oh, because these are lefmaisis is more effective than the case of the cave. Now, others point out, just one second, and Rabbi Willig, I think, accepts this, more or less. Rabbi Willig, I once had asked him this question, and he said that even though usually perhaps you shouldn't be lenient until three times for reasons which we'll tell you in a moment. But in the case of Kala, I asked him this question. He said, she's on Agestin, she should be Mako, she should just stay on Agestin until she has B.S. Mitzvah. What's Agestin? So maybe we'll talk about it more later when we talk about the Dam Chimud and the like. But Rabbi Willig, it's also a type of hormonal regulation. Rabbi Willig thinks that it's the best way for kalas. They shouldn't use regular birth control, they should use Agestin. It's far more effective than regular birth control pills, which often have breakthrough bleeding and the like, and staining, and you could get into shilas. So these sometimes, even when they're on the pills, you have terrible stirring the shivinikim. They do a bedika, and it's a bad bedika because they're staining, because you use Agestin, take three pills a day, and without fail, it will work. And there's a medical article on this topic that he co-authored with Dr. What's his name? From Riverdale. No. Grayjower. On the use of Agestin for kalas. There's a nice scientific title to the article. I don't remember what it is. You could find it easily online, though. Yeah, because they're idiots, according to Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig is very into this. Well, so another reason why Rabbi Willig likes it is because the other way that's done, which is they go on birth control, so once you're on birth control, people want to continue birth control, which is aser, according to Rabbi Willig. So this is much better, because this way, this isn't something you would continue regularly. It's not the normal. It's the same hormones, but it's used differently. It's a drug that's being used to prevent menstruation, as opposed to a drug that's birth control, that, in other words, to prevent ovulation. Mamela, it prevents menstruation, but that's not the goal. So here, the point is, it guaranteed to work for her chasana, and she's not going to do it afterwards. Whereas when you do it with the birth control, so A, it's much less effective, and B, there's a Yetzirah to continue. So for those two reasons, he's very into Agestin. So since Agestin is 100% effective always, so Memela, so I remember once my wife had a kala, and of course she told her to use Agestin, which she did, and then during her Shiva Nikiyam, she started seeing something. So I called up Rabbi Willig and I said, Rabbi, she's on Agestin. She says, it's because she took one pill and not three. So my wife called her back. She said, how many pills did you take today? She said, one. I said, Chacham Adifin Navi. Anyway, so yeah, that's the pitch for Justin. People don't know about it. No, it's not a type of birth. If it's mutter to use birth control, do what the doctor says.
It doesn't suggest using birth
control. No. Then follow your doctor. When we talk about Milberis, maybe we'll talk about some etzos as to how to get to the mikvah while on birth control after pregnancy. There too, if you follow the standard medical advice, you're likely to run into trouble, because a lot of times people are on the mini pill because they're nursing, and there's oftentimes spotting on the mini pill, and maybe we'll talk about that another time. There are other etzos to solve that problem, but otherwise, no. If you're allowed to be on birth control, you can, you know, do what the doctor said, what the doctor recommends in terms of hormonal regulation. If there are staining issues, then there are some tricks that you could try using, but not a Justin. Yes?
If someone is in the middle of menstruating, does the digestion thing stop it?
I don't know. Ask Dr. Greyjauer. Okay. Fine. Back to this. So at least since Agestin is 100% effective for Kala, Rabbi Willig was also willing to be Mako, that she should basically stay on Agestin until she finishes B'as Mitzvah and ignore all Vestos that she might have. Even if she had a Vest Kavua. It's the chances of a Kala having a Vest Kavua are pretty low. But yeah, in a chinami. Okay. There are many poskim that are for regular birth control, not Agestin, are very hesitant to be lenient, especially nowadays. What do I mean by nowadays? Nowadays, they use much lower dosage of hormones when most people are on birth control. This was because they did several long-term studies on women on birth control, and there was a slightly elevated chance for certain types of cancer. When I say long-term birth control, I'm not talking about like 18 months. I'm talking about like 45 years. Like, you know, they started when they were 12, and they didn't, you know, more or less kept on going until they were 50 with a little bit of... So anyway, they started lowering the dosages. Because they lowered the dosage, it's more common to have breakthrough bleeding, especially when people try to double up. And that being the case, it's good idea to follow the Radvaz's advice, which is only to skip your old Vestos if you've shown for you that it's effective, right? Three times. But otherwise, at least in terms of Prisha, right? In other words, at least to follow the Ramah until three times. To treat it like the Ramah's halacha by the woman of the cave until three times. Because even if you think fundamentally, you know, if it were the case that it was clear cut, that it stopped menstruation, then fine. Then we could be Mako right away. But the fact is that many women do have breakthrough bleeding. In fact, that question that we were discussing this morning was a case of breakthrough bleeding and on a regular pill. Right? So it's a bad shayla because she should have been wearing tzivonim. But lamaisa, since people do have breakthrough bleeding, to wait till three times to show its effectiveness. As I mentioned, different poskim have different things. Take a look if you want to look at the various views of contemporary poskim at Rabbi Forrest on page 367. He mentions the pshara that Yoni mentioned from the Ber Moshe to be concerned about a Vesus Kavua or Ona Benonis, but not the other two. And there are different views among the poskim. But again, I think what makes sense is also Rabbi Soblovsky talks about, if you want to take a look, page 241 there. The Badi Shulchan is choshish for Ona Benonis. I think that for regular birth control, you should be machmir only after three times, because Lamaisa there is breakthrough bleeding. But again, b'shas adchak or ajestin, so then you could be mako right away, because that's total proven to be effective. Yes, Rabbi.
Maybe.
In terms of doubling up, we'll talk more about that when we do the sugya for Revu. There's no hilchos nida objection to doubling up. And doubling up means to take two cycles. In other words, the way they standard work, let's say it's a 28-day cycle. So after you stop taking the hormones, usually they give you placebos. So that way you're less likely to lose track. And it's at that point that you stop taking the hormones, whatever it is, whether it's double progesterone in both types or the like, whatever it is, then usually, let's say around 48 hours or so later, you start menstruating. So you double up means basically go through two cycles as opposed to one. So there's no halachic issue with that, assuming it's mutter to be on birth control. And the reason why women like to do that is because they don't like to be anida. So if you don't like to be anida, so you double up, and then you don't menstruate, so you don't become anida. So there's no, medically it's okay. As with all medical questions, you should always consult your doctor first. But as far as I know, what I've been told by doctors is that medically it's totally fine. If you remember when we had the presentation a couple of months ago from Dr. Chadnoff, he mentioned that there's no issue with it medically. Rabbi Willig recommends not to do it more than doubling up. And the reason is because of the Gemara says that what's the reason for Nida? Shetei Chaviv al Baila, for Shalom Bayis reasons. So you shouldn't go more than the Torah's, right? The Torah has your Asura for 7 days, and then Stam Ona is 30 days, right? So then you're Mutares for 23 days. So you should have the ratio of the Torah, 7 to 23. So if you were to, let's say, triple up, then you wouldn't have that. It's good for Shalom Bayis to, like the Torah says, to have, you know, under normal circumstances, to have to take a break. Okay? Sometimes you don't. A woman's pregnant, for example. But typically, that's good. That's what the Torah says. So we should keep that idea. So don't triple up. Have the 7 to 23 ratio. So doubling up does have that, because let's say a woman is usually Tsumeya for 14 days, right? Or 12 to 14 days. You could double up, but don't triple up. Again, that's always, that's assuming it's muteris to be on birth control. Okay. Sif tests. So, I guess we're out of time. Okay. So here's the story. We don't have very much left. So next time we will quickly finish up Simen Kuf Pei Dalet, start Kuf Pei Tes. The main reason why you have so many days off for Pesach is to learn Simen Kuf Pei Tes. Exactly. Ein lecha ben chorin elamisha osek behochos vestos. Well-known memra. No, we're going to have chabur next week, but... Well, we have two chaburs next week, right?
During Yantif,
Chol HaMoed, and the like. So I don't know. Is anyone around? You're gonna be in Eretz Yisrael? Ah, I need to ask you a favor. Anyway, fine. So we'll stop here. Yeah, you had a question. Yeah? Oh, Sif Tes.
Right. So, shouldn't any Vestas Kavua be a suffix there as well? Because...
Yeah.
Right?
Fine.
That's it.